Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's that time again. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, everybody. And Dr. Price, of course, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
I am excited to be here, and listen, I welcome everybody on the call today. We have a great show plan, and, you know, I love Thursday Shows Day. You know, for us, it's Thursday is Shows Day, and I like that. We have Thursday Show Day. Every Thursday we're here talking with the body of Christ, talking with the people of God, and sharing with you. I want you to realize, every one of you who call, I'm grateful. I love hearing from you. I've heard from several of you this week, had a great time of communing with those of you that I could, you know, answer. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your praise. And I appreciate hearing the stories that God is doing magnificent things. I've been getting Facebook asks from around the world. You know, you almost don't even realize that people are checking in with you like that. But I've gotten it from several countries around the world. I want to thank every one of you who reach out to me. I want to thank you for making Blog Talk Radio and the Paula Price Show a success for me, because that's powerful. And Ashley, we really are successful too, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We are. We are reaching people all over the world every single day of the week. We can say truthfully, between the products, the assessments, our advisements, and the show, we can tell by where your feedback is coming from that you are everywhere.
Woo! And I tell you what, that's what I pray, because I want God's wisdom everywhere. You know, every minister of the gospel and everyone that God entrusts to reach the masses for him on any level have got to have that thing, you know, that niche, that message, that word. Mine is wisdom. And because God says to me, wisdom is the principal thing. Many times we have the word. Many times we have the works of God. We've got the witness of God. You know, we've got the hand of God, the Spirit of God. But what we lack often is wisdom, and that is that nexus that pulls it all together and makes it profitable for us. The thing about knowledge is that it's unprofitable until it goes from being knowledge or information to wisdom. So the journey is, you know, first we get a little information. Then we have to take that information and handle it, process it so that it becomes knowledge to us. But it's only when wisdom is sweet to our soul that God is profitable to us, that God is valuable. There's a lot of knowledge. You know, knowledge puffs up, learning puffs up, but wisdom is what makes it profitable. When it starts making sense to our lives, making sense to our history, our destiny, our life experiences, our situations, when God's word is not just a statement on our facts. You know, sometimes we just give God's word as a statement on our matter, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. None of those things are wrong, you know, but the bottom line is that the consummate pinnacle, if you will, of God's knowledge is that it's wisdom, and wisdom proves itself by changing things, by profitability, by transformation, by destiny. All of those things happen when you begin to provide or apply God's words wisely. And that's where God is. God says wisdom is the principal thing. When you're an apostle and you're a prophet, that the hallmarks of those two offices should be wisdom, not just information. Not just facts, not just knowledge that we've read. Again, there is nothing wrong with it. But when you want life to work, you need wisdom. What distinguishes the effective life from the superior life, and that means the life that's in your command more often than not, is wisdom. Anticipating the future, understanding the outcome, the logical course of action, appreciating how this A and B work together and how we get from A to Z in a way that's wholesome and healthy without destroying everything in our wake. You know, there are a lot of decisions that we make that seem so wonderful when we make them, but then they turn around and they backfire on us, and they boomerang. And what they do is they not only destroy what's in our hearts or what's in our plan, but everything in our wake. When you can tell a decision is bad when it has to hurt too many people. And nobody gets it. You're alone. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have days that you make a decision like that. But when you constantly have to turn around and hurt everybody in your way just simply to have your way, And that way proves to be useful to only you. See, because wisdom is good for you and those in your sphere of life. That's the interesting thing about wisdom. It is good for you and those in your sphere of life. People around you, whether they're your people, your close relatives because they're close to you, or whether they're people who are close to you because your relatives don't understand you. But somewhere along the line, wisdom will prove itself useful to those who stay with you, those who understand you, who are connected to you. And knowledge won't. You know. And so a lot of times our will, we may think that our will is for God, but it isn't. God's will is always to edify, and God is always looking to get the greatest benefit out of the least effort. Talking about an economist, God is a master economist. Efficiency is important to him. So if he can get 10 people blessed by your testimony, wonderful. He loves that. But if he can get 10,000 people blessed, hey, he's more edified because he's a big God. And so the more he can help, the more people's lives he can change, he can empower, the more God likes it. And that's what wisdom does. Wisdom changes your station in life. Wisdom alters your circumstances. Wisdom transforms how you think. Wisdom gives you the wisdom of conformance and compliance. You know, many people are nonconformist simply because their way is the best way. You know, so it's either their way or no way. And so God, however, will give you wisdom, and he'll say, well, that's fine. So when you don't get your way and you have alienated everybody that I put in your way, I can't help you. Wisdom is always building bridges. It's making things happen and making relationships happen, even if it's only a seed or a kernel at the time. And so God wants to tell you today about some of his wisdom. And I love it. That's what I get. When God speaks to me, he speaks to me from that vantage point. You know, he doesn't just say, well, you know, my word says, you know, to the person who is at you know, base level one, this is what God says. Like a kid, you tell a kid to do what you say. When a kid starts getting older, you ask kids to think about what you say. When they move into adults, you ask them to think about how they handled what you said. You see, so wisdom is an escalating knowledge that eventually brings you into the fullness of an understanding that benefits you and those around you. If it only helps you, then that's your personal fact. That's your motivation. But if it's helping people around you, that's fine. You know, there are things, the church has always been kind of rocky on wisdom. We're good on the word. We're good on the word. We can preach it, sing it, dance it, write it, paint it, sculpt it. We are great on it. But wisdom gives you the power to be a doer of the word and its work and to accept responsibility for what you do. The other thing that wisdom will do is makes you responsible. As long as you're deflecting, as long as it's everybody's fault but yours, then you're not moving in wisdom. You're moving in willfulness. And sometimes because we think we can explain our willfulness away so that we are given a logical explanation, we don't realize that we are substituting wisdom for our willfulness. There are times for you to step forward and make it be known, and then there are times for you to retreat and think. You know, there are times for you to speak your mind, and there are times for you to shut up and let somebody else's mind influence yours. There are times for you to fight, and then there are times for you to let God fight your battles. And so wisdom gives you that instinct, and it gives you timing. It gives you the sensing of timing. And so today, when we're talking about wisdom, we were in prayer this morning, had a great time, awesome time in prayer this morning with my prayer team, and the Holy Spirit just spoke out about wisdom, the wisdom of trials and tribulations. Our trials, our tribulations. One of our Facebook members wrote me yesterday about, do you have any wisdom for that? Yes, I do, quite a bit. And the greatest wisdom I have is to recognize that your trial, when God wrote in his word, he had never put more on you than you can bear. That is we've turned it into a wonderful philosophical statement. We've turned it into a wonderful doctrine, theological doctrine. Great. But what God actually was saying is that he will never press you beyond your ability to do what he called you to do. Your trials are directly tied to your calling. If you want to know what God calls you to do, just sit down, and you're going to like this. This is going to be a great week for everybody who's listening to me today. You're going to sit down and get yourself a notepad. And on this notepad, you're going to write the constant cycle that you have. I have a constant cycle of whenever I get this far, this happens. Whenever I do this, I get this result. Every time I behave this way, this happens. But you're going to list the constant trials that you face, because trials are not judgments. and we treat trials as if they're judgments. Trials are just what they say, try out. God's trying you out for your destiny. He's trying you out at every level of development. At every trials and judgments are two different things. And he'll tell you, now this, I'm going to judge you for this, or this is the judgment of God. And judgments bring, you know, judgments are a twofold thing, too. We treat it like it's only one thing. You either get, you know, judge is just condemnation. And after that, you're just cursed. And after that, well, you just did. And so, but that's not the truth. Trials are in the Bible for a reason. Temptation, now trials have is a two-edged sword. Satan has trials that call temptations. And God will not tempt you to sin, never will. But then there are the trials of you doing it all right and getting all of the wrong results. In your mind, the wrong result. And when you get the wrong result in a trial, that's telling God there's a flaw he needs to work on. Now, if it wasn't you, and you, let's say you were a car, airplane, bus, something like that, okay? You fill it in. Now, let's say that you were a car, an airplane, or a bus, and you are on the assembly line, and you're being made for a specific purpose. Now, let's say you are a specialized vehicle. Now, let's add to that specialized vehicle that you are meant for an elite purpose. In other words, the highest people, the most sensitive or valuable people in your sphere are going to need you. They're relying on you as a vehicle. And so in order for us to assure that you as a vehicle can carry and preserve and safely deliver the people that you're supposed to transport, we need to try you. And when we try you, we need to try you all the way up to and beyond your stress point. We don't want to just try you to when you wobble. We want to try you to where you break so we know your break point. And some people's break point in God is just too low. And so God is always pressing you and to go beyond your break point, but he'll only do it to the extent that he will use you. Now, if you're meant to be just a roller skate, well, that's okay. We want to keep the kids safe, but the roller skate, you're never going to have that much pressure. I mean, how much weight are you going to have to bear? Now, let's say you're going to be a bicycle. Well, now, not only are you a bicycle, you're a wheel, you're going to be in and out of traffic. Now we need to have some safety features. And so God is trying you every step of the way. Your trials actually are the barometer of your calling. They are the meter. Your trial meter is going to tell you what God has called you to do. If you pay attention to it, you can pretty much, you know, it's amazing how we run around trying to figure out purpose. But if you pay attention to your trials are going to tell you your purpose. If your trial is constantly money, you need to rest assured that your destiny includes you handling and managing well large sums of money. Now, the degree to which you struggle with money and the numbers will tell you how high God's going to use you. For to whom much is given, much is required, and to whom they commit the most, they will expect the more. And so God is saying to you that, you know, we're whining and crying because we've been told that we shouldn't have to be tried. Jesus paid the cost. He did the trial. I shouldn't have to go through it. Well, you don't have to go through it. If you don't want your destiny, don't go through it. But understand, life is going to test you every day whether you like it or not. You get tested for jobs. You get tested for careers. You get tested to get a driver's license. Got to get tested to get married. Got to go through a trial to get unmarried. You know, you got tested. Life is about testing. Why? Because darkness is on the earth. Nobody knows firsthand what's in the darkness. Nobody knows what's in your heart. I know we like to say, well, you know, that's not my heart. God knows my heart. No. That's not true. Whatever God knows your heart, he has to publish to the world for the world to trust you. So whatever he knows about your heart, if you are one of those that, well, God knows my heart, God will put you through a series of circumstances so that he can publish what's in your heart because nobody can read it but him. So you need to recognize that. So that could create a trial area for you. You know, if you're meant to help people get healed, you're probably going to have to fight building faith because you build your faith through trials. Whatever doesn't make you quit is going to take you into position. If you don't quit on it, it's going to elevate you. That's a fact. So, because your quit point is your break point. So you've said to God, this is it. No matter what you give me in life, never exceed this level. So some of us quit on something 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Some of you have quit on something 35, 40 years ago. And you figure, well, where I quit is where it was over. It wasn't over. God is eternal. So he didn't age. He didn't lose his mind. He didn't lose his memory. God just waited, and he put your file in the bottom drawer. And he left you live out all of your comforts and your conveniences. But the day of resuming that test comes. And so whether that test takes another form or not, because the form of the test, it deals with the era and the attitude of your heart. And as your attitude changes, your test will change. Your trials will change. But the purpose of a trial is to get you into destiny. And I said to my team this morning, your destiny demands certain trials, because those trials are the role play of your duty. So if you have a trial where you find that you can't ever speak to people properly, you have a hot head, you're going to always be in situations with that and the consequences, because the situation is not it. It's how you cope with the consequences, overcome it, and then get back in the flow. Do you grow or do you groan? Because that's what God is looking for, the groaners and the growers. So some people want to grow, G-R-O-W-N, and we want to be groaning. Other ones are groan, G-R-O-A-N. I want to whine about it. I want to stop. It doesn't feel right. It's not right. It's not fair. I deserve better. This ain't God. Well, see, the problem is every time you say something is not God, you prolong God's hand on you, because God's got to prove the truth. So it behooves you to say, Lord, who is this? And where am I in this journey? And God, what are you working out in me? And it shouldn't be that God has to utterly devastate you before you are willing to assess yourself. I mean, a mark of maturity is that you can examine yourself. Paul said, let everyone examine themselves to see if you're in the faith. What faith? God's faith. You know, we taught you that your faith was important. Your faith is important as a plug-in to God's faith, but your faith does not define God's faith. God's faith is defined by God. And so what he thinks is faith and what you call faith could be two different things. You need to know that. So your trials end up being the meter. It's the meter that tells you how the frequency, how close or how far you are from entering your destiny. Because remember, your destiny has duties. It has obligations. It has responsibilities. And all of your trials, if you look at them, they are directly tied, directly correlate with your destiny and its duties and responsibilities. So you have to know your calling. So sometimes you are on trial because you're trying to do somebody else's calling, or you're trying to do your calling in some place where God didn't put it. So there are things that you should know. Now, what do I bring? I said I bring wisdom. Many people have a problem. I don't want to think that deeply. I just want to live. I just want whatever. Well, that's your childhood talking. Your inner child doesn't want to have to come off the playground, doesn't want to have to handle the word no, doesn't want to have to develop patience. I want it now. I want it my way. I want it the way I think, the way I feel. God ought to know me by now. You realize that God knows you and 8 billion other people. And we're not talking about all of the angels he knows, all of the devils he knows, and all of the creatures and animals that he knows, because God knows it all. If he knows about a sparrow falling, you better know he knows everything. And the reason that it's important that you recognize this is because the season of God has changed. God is no longer Papa indulging the kids. He is now a parent who wants his children to be partners with him in the family business. I need you to grow up. I need you to help me. I got some issues on the board. I got countries that are falling. I got perversion that is happening. I got the gates of hell pushing against my church. I can't indulge you all any longer. I need you to grow up and get off your own cause and start getting on mine. That's where he is right now. And that's why so many people are feeling this restlessness of soul. They're restless. I mean, I was at peace. This was working all of a sudden. It's just irritating me. It's not working for me any longer. I don't like it. God won't let me rest. He keeps telling me to do that. I'm sensing that God is leading me to do something else. I don't know what to do. And God is making you not only ask him, he's making you plead with him for relief. And that relief is only going to come through obedience. And so in the beginning, he starts sticking, you know, the goads. The goads come out. That's your first trial. He's goading you to think differently. He's goading you to feel differently, to experience things differently. And so then you go to church and you hear, you know, or you turn on your television, you hear these crazy sermons and say, that ain't God, it's the devil. I want to go online and go on record, because I don't mind doing that. I want to go on record to say you should not serve the Lord Jesus Christ if Satan can try you without his will. you need to be serving Satan. You should not serve a God that can't stop the devil that he made. And so whenever they say that, I'm going to go barf, because that is not it. Now, that doesn't say that God didn't release him, but you need to find out why God released him. And you need to find out what door that God gave him to be tried. And sometimes God releases him because you're Job. You have a lot to offer. You have a great call. You have great resources. And you would be a great coup in the kingdom of darkness. So God wants to make sure you want to serve him for real. He has enough people who defect without incentive. He doesn't need to give people more of an incentive to defect from his kingdom or betray him. He already has that. People will do that for free. They will sell God out for nothing because we have been programmed to, not because they don't love him. We have been programmed to think that God's way is terrible because God is the most unknown factor in the whole thing. I mean, think about Paul on Mars Hill. All these deities, they can talk about those gods left, right, north, and south. They can talk about the God of the air, the wind, the snow, the God of motherhood, the God of fatherhood, the God of all of those things. And Paul is up there with him. He said, I want to talk to you about this little guy over here. See this little sign over here? They didn't even have an image for him. They had no image. They just had no sign, the unknown God. God is the unknown factor in the world of darkness. And so God has to let you want to find him because he knows how powerful he is. God knows that he is so powerful that if he does not want to put a word on your life when you aren't able to obey, because then he has to follow it up with all of these trials and then on top of that judgment. God would rather just leave you alone 5, 10, 20 years so that he could just let you grow into the idea rather than engage you in a battle with him that you can't win. What was Job's argument? I can't fight. How can I win? I can't win this battle. And so you can't win this battle with God. And many of us engaged him in battle with unknowingly or perhaps knowingly, engaged him in battle and couldn't win. And you engaged him in battle because of false teaching, because of the irreverence that's out there, because people make you think that God is like he's like, you know, jello. You can mold him the way you want. And God let that happen. And until he meets you, God will leave you alone. He will just let life happen to you the way it does, let your decisions, all of that. But when God calls you and he suddenly says, I need you, he's going to put you in trial. He did it to his son, Jesus Christ. Gets the baptism. The man is 30 years. No problem. Life is good. I mean, from 12 years old to the 30 years he goes to get baptized, pretty much life is good. Everybody knows him. He's well known. Obviously, he was well liked. And, I mean, people don't have a problem with him. So he goes to get baptized because God is ready. Destiny is knocking on the door, and he's getting ready. And as he starts to get ready, he goes to John, he goes to get baptized, and not only is Jesus thrown in trial, but everybody that's going to be affected by Jesus is affected. So Jesus goes, gets his baptism, and instead of him saying, okay, I'm ready to get my cards, I'm going to get my 501c3, I'm good to go, God said, go to the wilderness. And he goes into the wilderness. And the wilderness, he has, there are a couple of things that we don't realize. Number one thing about the wilderness and Jesus that I thought was amazing is that he's in the wilderness with the wild beasts. We hardly ever realize this man is fighting for his life for 40 days with no food. He's fighting wild beasts. He's dealing with savagery. He's a predator, so he's dealing with predatoriness. This man is fighting, and then at his weakest, the reason he was sent to the planet shows up. And God literally waits until he's depleted of everything. He's depleted. We don't even know what he looks like. We don't know if the beast bit him, didn't bite him. We don't know if he got a healing. But if he was wrestling with the wild beast, because there's a reason why they had to put that, God put that in there. If he's wrestling with the wild beast, we don't know what he actually dealt with in that wilderness. But the implication is he was not just sitting on a lovely little mountain going without food. He was in a wilderness where nothing could grow. So he wasn't even allowed to be tempted because you can't eat any of that anyway. And then the reason he was sent to the planet comes. And he gets his last major trials. And all three of those final trials have to do with the reason he came. He's hungry. The first trial is, can you restrain your appetites for the sake of the call? If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. So appetite, first one, his flesh. Can you do that? Trial number two, hey, Throw yourself down. See if the Most High catch you. Trial number two, can he restrain his ego? Can he restrain his desire for glory, human glory? Well, he didn't want that. Okay, so trial one, we've got the flesh under control. Trial two, we've got the ego under control. Ah, but the big one. All of the kingdoms of this world in an instant, in a moment of time. Think about it. It says Satan took him on, took him. The man is too weak to go, took him and showed him. You want out of this? Listen, if you abandon this call, I will give you the world. I will lay it at your feet. Only worship me. Now, that's the big one, because this is a real challenge, because Satan is son. He got the Son of God at his mercy. Surely he can take advantage of it. And Jesus said, I worship God. So now, what is his last thing? Choose ye this day. If God be God, serve God. If Baal be God, serve Baal. And so Jesus had to decide whether he was going to serve the creature he made or his Father, the Creator. And that is the battle that we're in. Now, we may not have to go in the wilderness, but, baby, we meet the wild beast. We deal with the savagery of human nature. We deal with deprivation. We deal with lack. We deal with the darkness. We deal with isolation, alienation. We deal with all of those kinds of things. We do it in that scenario, according to our respective destinies in Christ. Because of the ultimate trial, the ultimate trial is, who is your God? And when I make you great, who will be your God in your affluence when I take you out of your deprivation? Now, that trial goes all the way back to Deuteronomy 8. He said, I put you in the wilderness, and I suffered you to hunger. I let you go hungry. I let you get put out your house. I let you lose your car. I let you lose your job. I let you have to go on welfare. I did that because I wanted to show all of my adversaries what's in you. And I wanted to show them that you were not serving me for stuff, but that you truly love me. And he said, so now I'm getting ready to flip your script. And now you're going to enter into the riches and the fullness of my blessing. What I promised you, I'm about to give you. But I'm sending you in because you have met the criteria. You suppressed your ego. You suppressed your appetite. And you remain faithful to your God. Every trial, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what's in Jesus' trial, and that's what's in every trial we have. God wants to know, at what point will you break down and give what he gave you back to darkness? That's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or a bad person. It has to do with how faithful you will be as his messenger. At what point will you forget who's who? At what point will you start saying, I'm cutting a covenant with another God? What point, now listen to this last trial, and then we're going to wrap this up, but listen to this last one, because this is a good one. This is rich. You're going to love it. Listen to this last trial. Jesus comes to earth in flesh as the Son of Man. Now, he comes as God incarnate. Now, according to 1 Corinthians 10, Jesus is Yahweh. So he is God who has defeated this devil in heaven. He's thrown him out of heaven. He's done all of this stuff. So he comes, and this creature literally thinks that who Jesus has become in the flesh has made him vulnerable to defecting from the kingdom like he did. So Jesus is going to betray God. Now, he's going to show him all of the kingdoms of the world that he made and sell him on it. But isn't that what we do today? God will give us all of his stuff, and Satan will make us think that it wasn't the Most High God that gave it to us, but it was him. And Satan can't give you God's stuff. He can only lend it to you because he's got to use it someplace else because he has a quota. You know, God has no quota. He has a quota. And so I want to say to you who are listening today, your trials are literally your practicum for the duties and responsibility of your destiny. If you can't pass the trials, you will not fulfill your duty. If the trials take you out, the duties will automatically distort you. You will not handle it. So if money is a problem, then that's going to be a trial for you. Decision-making is a problem, that's going to be a trial for you. Dealing with relationships, a problem, you know, any kind of moral issues, a problem, then when you get into position and you can call the shots, now it's by your will and not by your oppression, that's when you determine who you are. And so God is literally trying you to let you know that this is what you are called to do. If you're called to teach, can't get a place, you're called to have a company, can't get a job, you know, you're called to have whatever. It doesn't matter. But trust me on this word. What you are being tried in today, if you sit down and think about it, and I would encourage every one of you listening to me today to sit down this evening after you've done your day's responsibilities, sit down and think about the trials that you faced. Think about the frequency of them. Think about the redundancy of some of them and the repetitiveness of others. Think about them carefully. And as you do, list them. And if you list them in one column, I want you to create two columns. List them in the first column. Then in the second column, I want you to say, what duty or responsibility would that trial address or require? So decision-making is a difficult thing for you, and so you constantly find your decisions or turn out to be bad or you think they're right. What is that saying about you, but where does that fit in a duty, in a function, in a position, in a job, in an office? And as you do it, you will begin to see what God called you to do, what he put in you, who he made you to become, but you'll get another very valuable piece of information. You will also see the flaws that he's working on. And you will always be tried beyond your breakpoint because we have to make sure that the last place you broke has been strengthened. So God will try you until there's no more room between the superiority he needs and your potential to measure up. That's a good thing. And so what God wants you to do is to learn to cooperate. Through prayer, through praise, through faith, through understanding, and recognize that it is not a strange thing that he's trying. Think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to test you. God is not going out. He doesn't have a problem with you being a winner. He's as clear as it goes. He is clear. You are a winner. He knows it because he made you a winner. You don't know you're a winner. Your world doesn't know you're a winner. And those are the two people who have to begin to attest to the handiwork of God in you. When you are able to say to somebody, and I will put this out here because I know several of us have said it, when you can look at somebody who's finally coming their day, you can become a witness. You become an attester. You say, well, they paid their dues. Well, they worked hard at it. Well, they kept going. Well, they certainly earned it. Why do you think God makes you say that? Because God knew all along this person was going to make it and they would earn it. But the people that you need to touch or the people they need to affect have to know this is a credible product. This is a reliable witness. This is a responsible servant. This is a responsible minister. And all of the people who have watched this trial happen can have confidence in this decision of God. God made the decision. He knew. Think about David. God made the decision of David almost 20 years before the country realized that God made a good decision. Now, God's decision to replace Saul was way, way back. Nobody really knew Saul was going to be replaced except the replacement and the person who anointed the replacement and God. Now, so David was already approved of God way back as a kid, but nobody else knew that. Everybody had to see David go through his trials and to the fact that David could have violated Saul, but he didn't. He could have killed Saul, but he didn't. He could have exploited the situation he did. He could have bragged that he was going to replace Saul, but he didn't. He could have told everybody Saul's about to die, but he didn't. He did not do any of those things to frustrate the day of manifestation. He shut up. He took the hits. He learned what he needed to learn. He recovered where he could recover, wore where he needed to war. Pray all the way, the Psalms tell us, and all of that caused people to admire him. So David went from being totally conspired against to being completely admired, to the point that they, the people agree this is the king we should have. Now, all the while David is doing that, Saul is showing them why he should be replaced. So your replacement, who you're replacing, is also being exposed while you're being developed. So let patience have its perfect work in you. Because when you are weak, then God is strong. Let his strength grow in you. That is the wisdom for today. I wanted to say that because so many of us, we want to hop out the trial. We want to end it. We're mad. We think it should be 3 years. God's got 10 on his books. We think it should be 20 years. God's got 30 on the books. You know, there's some, Moses had 40 years. 40 years. But look at what he had to get trained for. 40 years in the wilderness, or Midian, just like the wilderness, and compared to Egypt. 40 years, because why? He's got to take a nation out of captivity and make it a nation. And you just don't learn that overnight. There are so many skill sets involved in that. When I do leadership training, these are some of the things that we work through and we visualize in our leadership training session. So I hope this was a blessing to you all. I hope it was helpful. How about you, Ashley?
My Lord, somebody put this apostle on television right now. This is a word for the world and not just the body of Christ. My Facebook is going off. My text messages are going off. I'm in shock, and I sat there this morning when you brought forth this word in its first round. I took notes. I took notes. I mean, your quit point is your breaking point. Amen. You're talking to me, Dr. Price. You're talking to me.
Okay, and nobody else, right? Just you.
I'm glad that they tuned in to get my word today, but that was good.
I agree with you. You know, and the one thing that, you know, great leaders empower you to become great, but you can't become great until you learn how to cooperate with readiness and preparation. You, so many people, Ashley, have been trained to think that they can get themselves ready for their ministry. They don't need anybody to tell them what to do. They don't need to know the front runners, the forerunners, the successful. They don't even know any of that. All they need to know is I got a call and I've got an anointing. And truly, that misconception has taken out a lot of folk. God is looking for champions. And champions are not made on the sofa cushion.
Mm.
Champions are made in the battlefield. They're made in the oven. They're made in the hopper. They're made in the press. Champions are not made on a sofa cushion. And if that's where you want to get it, watching somebody else doing it, you are not going to be a champion. You're going to be an entertained observer. You have to get your hands in this thing. You have to get your back in this thing. You have to get your shoulder in this thing. You have to watch yourself die again and again and again, because the more you die, the more the purpose for which you were made grows in you. When you're out of the way, it fills the space. And I tell you, we're going to have some powerful times if we can get the body of Christ to cooperate with the Holy Ghost plan and strategy for getting them prepared for the destiny. We want our destiny, and we don't want to have the development that goes along with it. Give me my destiny, God. Just give me a title. Give me an office. Give me a car. Give me a gun. Give me whatever. Just give it to me. And what would be the point?
My Lord. And we tell people that they're not God. That's not God. If you tell them they need to sit down and take a class, sit down and refine themselves, then you're going to hear how that isn't God. So I find this very, very good to hear.
How many times have people said it to me? Well, God spoke to me himself. But do we know that, and do we know you heard it correctly? Do we know that what you say God said is what he said? We don't know it until you bear some fruit. And fruit takes a while to come forth. You know, and God told me that, like a prophet. Nobody experiences this in terms of the difficulty of it like a prophet. Prophets will give a word. You'll give a word. God called you to be a prophet. You give a word. You 2 weeks in God. You give a word. He's the right word. You give him another. Try to give somebody else a word. God won't say another thing. Well, shut up for 3 years. And then all of a sudden he'll give you another little assignment after you're just about ready to break point. And at the break point, he gives you just little nuggets to let you know this is a process. You're in a process. Be still and know that I am God. And that I will be exalted. Listen to what he said. We always say, be still and know that I'm God. But he said, listen, Rebecca, but I will be exalted among the heathens. I am doing something in you so that I am exalted in the world. I'm exalted among unbelievers. That's what he's looking for. And he's looking for you to be a major, not just a treasure, But he's also looking for you to be a weapon. He's looking for you to be a blessing. He's looking for you to be a cover. He's looking for you to be a shield. God's got great plans for you. So it's nice that you got it from God in secret. But you realize that your secret mission means nothing to the rest of us who have to approve it or experience it. So unless God is calling to cover ops, we probably need to know what he's saying.
Amen.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Well, yeah, when you put it like that, yeah, it sounds good.
Well, we, you know, we have to learn God, the wisdom. Wisdom is what teaches you God. You know, this is not whether or not I agree with it, I don't agree with it. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with this is his show. He's calling his shots. He's got a right to do what he wants, and he's going to do it whether we approve or not. The problem is people like me are sent, well, not the problem. I think the benefit, I'm going to say that, people like me are sent into the body to give you the language of God's minds and motives so that you can decide to cooperate with him or jump ship. But either way, he's not going to stop because God's like, I've been getting people ready. I've been getting creatures ready for ages. I know what it takes. And I know that no matter how much you think I don't know what I'm doing, I got this thing sewed up. I called the end from the beginning. I already know how the end is going to be because I called it from the beginning. And so we're going to learn, God. I think that as the years to come and this spirit of sobriety hits the world, not just the body of Christ, as this spirit of sobriety hits the world, we're going to see people ready to kind of get a hold of what's going on in their lives because we've been swept away with one intoxicant after another, one seduction after another, one hallucinogen after another. You know, that whole kind of, you know, we've had this spiritual drudgery going on as well. And so I do think that as we go forward, where people are going to want to settle in, I need to get hold of my life. I need to know what's going on. How does life work? How does God think? What are the principles? Because these things don't change generation after generation after generation. So I had a great time today, Ashley. So, Ashley, what are your Facebookers saying? Do you have anything you can share?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let's see here. Oh, my God. All right, Stacy said, Dr. Apostle Paul Price is teaching this thing today. Your quit point is your breaking point. She said, Lord help.
Lord help.
She said, Lord help. All right, we're going to the PPM Global page. Apostle Turner said, wisdom is a principal thing. Love this topic today. Arnita said, this is a blessing to me today. Thanking God for flipping the script because I have now passed the test. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Let's see who else? Nathan said, is she preaching to me? And I said, yeah, you and me both. She's preaching to all of us today. My God, my God, my God. So
well,
those are some of the highlights of what's going on. Then there's some other likes, but those are the major comments. I think people were too busy taking notes, like me.
Hey, you know, but this is strategy to win. And before we go to Prophet Adia, because we know she's got, and she was on fire this morning in prayer, so I know. I mean,
yes, she was.
You guys have, oh, my gosh. But before we go to her, I want to say, if you're taking notes, write this now. A great leader doesn't just prepare you for the win. They prepare you for the war.
Mm.
Everybody write that down. A great leader doesn't just prepare you for the win, they prepare you for the war. If you are only being prepared to win and you are not prepared to war, you're going to go to battle half-equipped. So you're going to be taken out because you didn't expect a war. You only expected a win.
My God.
Great leaders will always prepare you for the adversary you will face as well as the promotion that you're pursuing. They're not going to just tell you, like, this is what we did to the body of Christ. We told them all about the win, all about the victory. We gave, and that's fairy tale. Fairy tale will always hide the small print. They'll always give you the big poster. Buy this, and you can change your life, small print. Not meant for so-and-so. Will not work in these situations. Will not happen with so-and-so. The FDA has said this. The FDA said, see, great leaders tell you the big picture, and then they train you to counter the small print.
Hmm.
That's what we must do going forward. If we could see, we didn't tell you about the small print, folks, and guess what? It still got you anyway. We didn't tell you about the warfare, but it got you anyway. You didn't know it was warfare. And then when you realized it was warfare, you blamed God, and it wasn't God. It was poor development. You do not send somebody out to win a championship game on their own vision of the win. You send them out on what's really facing them and what they must counteract or overcome. So if you're a leader, don't just give your people the optimist side. Don't think that it's a lack of faith just because you say, well, you know what, but this is really happening. Because that's how we got taken out. That's how we lost this war, because we had all of these optimist people who told us all of their optimism and didn't tell us the truth about how they got there. You don't rise to the top without warring. I don't care what it is, warring with the computer, warring with some paper, warring with the traffic, warring with family, friends, jobs, enemies, adversaries, frenemies, it doesn't matter. You will war to rise, because that's what it takes to win. So, Ashley, do we have Prophet Adia around to tell us what's going on in CPM Global World and what we're going to have in our store next week? Because I like that.
I'm sure, yes. She's on the line, and, you know, I know she has something to say about what you just said, too. Prophet Adia, what's going on out there?
Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Well, I'm just like most of y'all out there, so I'm trying to pick myself up off the ground, too. Bless his name. It's a new day. It's Thursday. It's Paula Price Show Thursday. I love Thursdays. We love our audience. We want to let you know how you can keep up with Dr. Price. And let me tell you what, this is a woman that you want to keep up with all week long. So if you are not on her Facebook, you need to get on it, www.facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. You can click like on her page, and you'll get instant access to all of her power quotes. Let me tell you, she's got some great ones that go out every single day, along with a series of new short video shorts that Dr. Price has been doing on her page as well. So you want to make sure that you stay up with her on Facebook so you get all the goods. If you are on Twitter, you want to follow Dr. Price. She tweets live during the show, so you can get some live power nuggets all while the show is going on, one after the other. She's got a stream of them up right now. If you didn't catch all of what she was talking about the trials, there are some great quotes that we captured right in the moment from her show today on Twitter. You can follow Dr. Price on Twitter by typing in at Dr. Paula Price, and you're going to click follow, and you'll be able to get access to all of her tweets. Dr. Price even follows some of you back, so you want to make sure that you get on Twitter and catch up with her there. Don't forget to visit drpaulaprice.com all throughout the week. That's how you can get connected with shopping for our products and taking an assessment. When you visit www.drpaulaprice.com and you want to take an assessment, you're just going to go to that left-hand menu bar and click take an assessment, and then you'll get all that you need to know about how to proceed with that. And then shopping for products, we've always got new things going up on the store. The pick of the week this week is Dr. Price's Prayer and Consecration Guide, Intercessors, Prophets, Psalmists, Apostles. If you are doing a prayer thing with your church at the beginning of the year, or if you're looking for material for your prayer group, let me tell you, this is the book that you want to get. It's an instant ebook, so you can get it on instant download as soon as you order. All week long, it's only $9.99. It's a step-by-step how-to for setting up a consecration, particularly if you lead your intercessory group in your church. We use this as a guide for our own consecration and fasting and prayer. You need this in your church. Many people have asked Dr. Price for more resources on prayer, and so we're so excited to bring this to you all at the top of the year. So that's the guide to consecration. You want to go to drpaulaprice.com and click shop for products, and then you'll go to the product store, and you can just click consecration in the search. It'll take you right to it. So do not miss that opportunity. Lots of exciting things coming up next week. You'll have to join our email list to find out what the pick of the week is, but you can join our email list by clicking contact us at drpaulaprice.com so that you can now be privy to all the insider information about what our new picks are as we release them every week at the beginning of the week. So make sure that you join us online. Everything with Dr. Paula Price is happening online. So we'll see you online.
My goodness, I need the consecration book. Wait a minute. I need that book. for myself. Indeed I do. Like Prophet Adia said, do not miss the opportunity to catch the wave known as Apostle Paula Price and ride that wave and ride that crest. Take this wisdom that you got today to the next level, the next 10 levels as far as you can go. And like Prophet Adia said, you're going to see these little snippets showing up online with these nuggets of wisdom. There's a wonderful little button on Facebook in particular called Share. Share, share, share. Share the wisdom. Share the video. Share it with your friends. Share it with your groups, because you never know what word of wisdom or what nugget of wisdom somebody needs to hear to be broken free. And what I love about technology, Dr. Price, is you're always on. If people don't catch you in the moment, they'll catch you later.
Well, isn't that what we say every week about Blog Talk? I often get people Facebook me and tell me they're not going to make the show for whatever reason, they're working or their way. And I remind them, but we're 24-7. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can catch me and catch other shows. This is the beauty of web. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't need a nap. We don't have to feed it. Well, we kind of have to feed it, but not that, not like that.
Right.
So you can do it. Now, before we go to our break, Ashley, I want to tell people about our brand new assessment, our PAQ.
PAQ.
Isn't that a prophetic aptitude questionnaire? Now, we've had several people take it already, and they have been enjoying the results. If you took the MAQ and you say, well, I already took that, and you are a prophet, you should take the PAQ. And here's why. They are not the same. And I think many of our returning assessees are discovering that, oh, my goodness, the results, the feedback, the information, totally different. If you're a prophet, it's going to give you a portrait of you and your mantle. Not just you, but you and your mantle. How do you prophesy? How you hear God? How God speaks to you? How people are reacting to you? There are, I mean, the strings of information, just amazing. So may I suggest that if you haven't taken the PAQ, you do so now. And if you've been, again, if the MAQ told you that you're a prophet or your secondary gift is prophet, or even that you're rising to the office of an apostle, take this assessment. It is not what you think, because we hear that a lot, don't we, Ashley? Well, I took the MAQ. I mean, how much more can it tell you? You could not believe how much God wants this office of the prophet not only understood, but competently occupied. And so you walk away with that. You'll walk away with the training plan. It is an astounding tool. And so I would suggest every one of you take it. Now, we only have a couple more weeks to take it at the, what is the price again, Ashley?
$49.
Okay. After that, it's going to go up significantly. So if you haven't taken it and you're waiting to get the money, listen, you want to try and scrounge for it now, because you'll only need to scrounge for more money later on. It is worth every penny. It is worth more than what we're offering. But this is our introductory offer. So if you're a prophet, if you're prophetic, if you're an intercessor, a psalmist, a dreamer of dreams, if you are a, the spiritual, you know, I have instincts, I have visions. Whatever that is, you need to take this assessment. If you are called to be a leader, a chief prophet, or on a prophetic company, if you're called to be on an intercessor, do you know this will tell you whether or not you're an intercessor or a real prophet. It'll tell you whether you'll do well on an intercessor's team or a prophetic company. This thing gives you information that you need. If you are a chief prophet, you want all of your prophets and prophetic people to take this. If you're a pastor, particularly if you are a prophet or an apostle who's also pastoring, you want to find out who these people are in your congregation, and you can't do it for a cheaper price. It will not be this price after January 31st. So I am personally encouraging you to make the push, stretch your budget, and say, you know what, I need to get this. And who are we kidding? January is the best time to figure out how you're going to serve God and triumph in God for the remainder of the year. So go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I'm taking my assessment. You buy one less cookie, you go and make a sandwich for lunch. Don't make a sandwich for lunch. Drink some tea. Make it happen for yourself, because this will be the best investment you can make as a leader, as a chief prophet, as the shepherd of a flock, as the head of a prophetic network, as the head of an apostolic network. The best thing you can do for your people is to get this tool in their hands. And the most effective thing you can do for yourself as a leader is to get this kind of information about your people in your hands, so that you can make quality, informed decisions and judgments on who they are and where to fit them, and also how to equip them. So that's what I wanted to say that, Ashley, because I thought that was really good.
Absolutely. And while you were talking, one of our clients messaged me and said, I need to find $49 right now. I need to find it.
Right now. It won't be this cheap again. It just won't. And it will be significantly increased. We have people who have said, I have a prophetic group, I have a prayer group, I have an intercessors group, and, you know, we're trying to do it. I'm telling you, if you want it to be affordable, this is as affordable as it will ever be, because we're not going to keep this price this low for the remainder of this year. I don't know when we'll bring this deal back again, but I know that this is it for here. And this is a significant assessment. The information is well worth $400. I promise you, it is well worth $400, and we are releasing it to you for $49. You can't beat that. So if you're listening, hey, before the 31st, because midnight the 31st, it's over, and you can't, you know, you won't even be able to negotiate for us to extend it, because we're not doing that. We have to move on with getting the next thing God wants up. So it's a great tool. Now, Ashley, do we have any announcements before we go to our callers? Because I'm good to go. I'm hot for the calls now.
Very good. Yes, and how about I need to get to the callers? Because I was so caught up, but that's okay. They're lined up for you, Dr. Price. All right, we'll be right back after a few messages.
How are you pursuing purpose this year? If you're like us, you're pursuing with an intense passion. Passion ignited needs direction. And when passion and direction merge, success is inevitable. Your success is our passion. At PPM Global Resources, our team of experts will identify with your passion and act as a personal vision support team to see your purpose fulfilled. Access our exclusive resources and special services. Gain clear perspective on who you are and what you're called to do. This is the breakthrough you've been waiting for. Take advantage of the Passion for Purpose special. Our prophetic aptitude questionnaire is just $49. And the minister's assessment questionnaire is 25% off now through January 31st only. These exclusive offers can be yours and more. Visit www.drpaulaprice.com and click Take an Assessment, or call us at 877-419-1299 to learn more.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities.
Well, it is an honor for me to be on your show, Dr. Price. And, you know, I'm so proud of you and the way that you've embraced and your team's embrace of new technology and really being able to expand and extend your reach as the Lord gives you utterance. It's just a powerful ministry. It's a wonderful thing. I heard you saying earlier that you were looking at the term minister and that the term minister means that to serve one's deity or to serve one's God, to harvest in their garden or their fields. And I just found it very interesting because it takes us all the way back to Genesis 2 and the garden that God created for Adam. And he gave that garden to Adam to husband, to take care of, to groom, to manage, if you will. And so even down the years, it seems as though it has always been our quest and our desire to get back to that Eden state in our relationship with God, to reclaim that.
All right, we are back on the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, you have everything fired up. The lines are lit up, callers, Facebookers, Twitters. Everything is on fire from this word. It was just powerful.
Well, then God be praised, because you know what? He's getting the team ready.
Yes, he is, and they're ready for it, ready or not.
Well, okay, I'm ready for my call. You told me I had some, so, hey, why don't we get started?
All right. Well, we have on the line first today from Georgia is Sanhara, and you have ministered to her before on the show. It's been a while since we've heard her lovely voice. But she's on today, Sanhara. Welcome. Dr. Price, she is calling about some fertility issues she'd like prayer for.
All right. Hello, Sanhara. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Well, you come on. You know I'm great. I'm fired up.
I can see. I'm taking notes, too.
I'm really charged. You know that. And the first caller always gets to find out how charged I am. So, see, I get to impart my charge to you.
Amen.
Oh, how are you doing, sweetheart? It's been a while since we've chatted. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Happy New Year. It's been going pretty okay. When we last spoke, I talked to you about going through the fertility treatments, and my husband and I were trying to have a child. We decided not to move forward with the fertility and just kind of wait until the beginning of this year. And all that time that I had been going for testing for, at that time my culture had been about a year and a half. That time I had been going for testing, they couldn't find anything wrong. So when I went to the doctor a few days ago, now they have diagnosed me with PCOS. So I'm just calling for prayer regarding that. When I discussed it with the doctor, I just basically said, you know, all this time, all this testing that I've done, which is very rigorous testing, you know, I'm just wondering why this was never, you know, shown before that I had this condition or that they're saying I had this condition, you know, which can cause infertility. So I'm just calling for prayer regarding that.
Woo! Well, you know what? I feel like if I'm going to get a good call, it should be the first call. You know, now if I'm going to be challenged, challenge me on the first call, you know? That's the way it goes. Yeah. Sounds like God to me. Now, I don't know what the condition is. I really don't, to be honest with you. But I do know this much, that, you know, Sanhara, the Holy Spirit says that he can heal you. That's not a problem. We all know God can heal. But there are certain, how can I say this in a way that, there are things that God needs from you.
Okay.
And see, a lot of times, as people, I'm talking about us now, not you, the Sanhara on the phone right now, but as us, his people, there are times that God will put us in a position to see how much we will negotiate with him and navigate with him. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't think anything's too difficult for God. I'm going on the record to say this right now. I don't think anything is too difficult for God. But I do know that to have God to break what is the natural course of things, you have to be in a position with him that it motivates him to, in his righteousness, to supersede that.
Okay.
And I say this to you not because I know all of the circumstances. I'm glad I don't know what that means, because I'll probably have to hang up and call you back tomorrow and say, what was that? But I want to tell you, because I don't know. But what I want to say to you is that the thing that you want God to do is a hard thing. And it's kind of like Elijah and Elisha. Elisha served Elijah faithfully, and through Elijah served God faithfully for 20 years. Mm-hmm. There are things that are hard. That doesn't mean that they're impossible for God, but how much do you want to make it possible for him to give you your way?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just human nature. Now, I'm speaking to you and probably about 15, 20 other people. But I know the word that God says is that, to give you this word, and I don't know, it's probably not going to endear me to you, beloved, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. He said, you need to think about adopting.
I need to what?
You need to think about adopting.
Okay.
And that's the word he's told me. And here's the time, and I want to go say this to you, because these are the things that we as apostles and prophets wish that somebody else got to say. You know, this is not, you know, we want to say all of the happy time stuff, but this is not to say God cannot do it. But I'm telling you, in order for you and God to move on this, you are going to have to do something to get up in his face to move his will. Here's why. This is the way the kingdom of God works, so that you understand how the kingdom, well, let me say this. Can I just explain it to you?
Mm-hmm.
This is how the king of the kingdom works. We think of God as a lone person, just a single person, out there in wherever he is, alone. We don't think God has an order. We don't think he has a system. We don't think he has staff. We don't think that God has anything that we can relate to in this world. Even though Paul says that the things that are unseen, we are recognizing by what is seen. So he's saying our visible structure, our visible institutions are a example of what his kingdom works like. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because God has systems. He has laws. He has government. He has all of these kinds of things. And so he sent Jesus Christ to give us an opportunity to circumvent them, because God thinks his system works. He thinks that, now, in our world, you know, we have a whole government to take care of us, you know, our health, our health care, our whatever, our properties, our taxes, whatever we have, utilities, et cetera. We have that. But God's utilities and all of those things are governed for the physical and biological life, because God's business is life. So when we want God to break beyond the natural order, he will do it only in one of several, or only in a few cases. The first one being, he will do it because he has a destiny on the line. Jesus said to the guy born blind, he said, neither he sinned or his parents sinned, but that the glory of God might be manifest. So Jesus comes, picks this guy out, heals him. The guy who was at the crippled guy at the Solomon's porch, why did Jesus heal him? Because he said to him, well, why can't I get in there? God, Jesus said, because I'm here. So Jesus watched him. And for 38 years before Jesus incarnated, 8 years before Jesus got on the planet, he watched this guy live this life. And then in his adult years, watched him show up year after year till finally the Lord had mercy on him because of his persistence. He kept coming to God for healing. And so Jesus heals him. But at the end of healing him, what did he say? He said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. There's a whole other order that we're talking about. We're not just talking about religious opinions. We're talking about a man who has an order, has systems, etc. And then God says there is another reason why he will break the natural order, because in order for him to do that, and I'll explain that in a moment, then he has the woman persisting with the unjust judge. This woman chased him down. I mean, aggravate. The judge said, I don't fear God and I don't fear man. But this woman's praying, she's aggravating me. Give her what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to know that this is, we read that Bible and we take our religious experience as some sort of optional aesthetic. It's not an aesthetic thing. God is not some sort of esoteric exercise. God is a person. and his kingdom is real, and it enwraps this kingdom. So for God to break that order, he's superseding it for reasons. Why? Because he already has agents. He has the angels. They're angels staying in the very presence of God. He has all of that who are maintaining the status quo. And if this is part of the consequence or the evidence of the status quo, that's it. Here's what God is saying to you. I don't have a problem healing, but I want to know I'm going to get my glory. I want to know that I'm going to get what I want. I want to know what I'm going to get out the deal. And people don't want to know God like that. I realize they don't, and I'll probably get a whole lot of people who Facebook me and say, but God is a good God. But just because he's a good God doesn't mean he's a stupid God. And just because he's a loving father does not mean that he is a chump. God wants what he wants. When Hannah got that kid, what did Hannah get for that first kid? She had to give him back to God. That's what she had to get. Everybody talking about Hannah's prayer. Hannah had to give Samuel back and then go have four or five other kids. So I will pray, and here's what I'm going to pray for you, because I'm giving what the Holy Ghost says. I'm going to pray that God will give you the grace to hear him say what he wants to say, but also for you to trust him no matter which way he does this.
Okay.
But the word that I got from God is that you need to think about adoption. And here's the point. This is not a judgment call, so you don't go there. There are times, Sanhara, that what you have and a kid that God has in the system who has a great call will never fulfill without you. Now, that doesn't mean God will never give you a child, but there is a kid in the system God needs you to have.
Okay.
Not the call you want, the answer you want, but you know what? I'm a woman who's going to tell the truth. The hardest part about being a prophet or being given the word of the Lord in today's time is that people have been programmed to disregard or to disrespect God's word and through the prophets because we've been told that they don't exist or that we're all being personal. I'm not being personal, neither are any of the other folks, but this is what I am saying. I'm telling you there's a kid that God wants you to adopt. It could well be after you do that kid, he's going to give you three. It could well be. But there's an assignment on your life that God needs you to fulfill, and it has to do with the youngster.
Okay.
Is this speaking to you in any way, Sanhara? Do we need to have another counselor?
It does, but I also feel that I'm supposed to have my own children naturally, and I do. I've always considered adopting since I was younger because my mom worked in social work, so I've heard all the stories about kids who are in the system. But I've always considered that after I had children naturally, not as me going to rush out and adopt a kid because I can't have children.
Well, but understand this, whatever we consider and whatever God does, two different things. And again, if we can quote our will and shout our will from here to eternity, but when it's all said and done, God's will be done. And God is letting you know. Here's what I want you to know. It could well be, I'm being honest with you, I'm giving you now my knowledge of the King and my interactions with the King, and I'm extremely, extremely involved with God. So I don't question when I know it's him. I'm telling you that somehow or another, you have to realize there's a kid you must adopt, and it could well be, and I'm saying could well be because you and God have to chat on this, it could well be that's the leverage you need to give him to give you what you want.
Okay.
But whoever this kid is, this kid has marked for great destiny and purpose in the planet. And God feels like whatever your life journey is, whatever your husband's life and whatever your walk is, this kid needs what you give. Now, I don't know the kid. I don't see them. I just know that this is what the Holy Spirit told me. And so because you want to do it in reverse. After I have mine, then I'll go and be benevolent. God is like, no. This is my first fruit here. Now, I never knew. If you didn't tell me coming on a call that your family was in that, all I kept saying was that he said adopt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you need to rest your body and relax in the things of the Lord, and you need to hear what he wants to accomplish in your life. That is, and again, I'm not saying that it's impossible for God to do it, because I feel like when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's Proverbs. And so you can so please God that God will just feel like Noah with the sacrifice. He just give him a sweet aroma. But God is a person. And I say to everybody who's on this line, we have been taught that God's a person, but we've treated him like an icon. We've treated him like a photograph on the wall, a statue in the hall. But God is a person. He has feelings. He has emotions. He has sentiments. But he also has dreams and visions. And he needs us to be as concerned about his dreams and visions as we want him to be about ours. And this is a vision for God. So I'm asking you, by the Holy Ghost, take this assignment, and let's see where it takes you.
Okay.
So you give some prayer to that, beloved. And I've never given this before, but, you know, I like doing the Paula Price show because I never know what God's going to say. So this is marvelous to me to find something else that he's saying. But I want to pray, and I'm going to pray for your peace. But if God keeps giving me that word, adopt and leverage, it could well be that you are leveraging for God to move on your behalf in another way. Father, thank you so much for Sanhara. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful woman, her husband, their life, and their family. God, I'm asking that you to amplify this word, mushroom it in her soul, so that she can know that she's heard from God Almighty, her God and Father who art in heaven. And, Lord, that you can give her the remaining strands and pieces that she needs to obey you in this matter and to know that you're really setting her up for a living hope. I thank you for doing it, God. I bless you for her life. I bless you for the victory that you have called her. I bless you for her steps, their steps in this matter, being ordered of the Lord. And I'm asking you to have your way, God, in Jesus' name, from this day forward. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now listen, before you hang up, I'm going to tell you, when you meet the child, let me see a picture because I know what the child looks like.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Okay. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, see, that's the inside. Wouldn't everybody want to know? But let me know, because I know what he looks like, or she. Okay. Okay. These are the things you just can't expect in life. Handy.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, you know, it's useless to say if people aren't going to do it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So God is not going to do it. I just want, you know, my thought is if they decide to do it, then God tells you to rest. Many times, actually, God's not going to give you the whole picture. He's just going to see if you're going to do this a little bit. What did he say to Abraham? Abraham, go, you know, his father takes him out of Ur of Chaldea, and then he says, Abraham, go where I'll send you. Well, where's that? You just go. You'll know when you get there. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit will just see if you're going to do the first obedience. If you do the first, he'll give you the rest of the information. And Abraham did not even get the whole destiny until he obeyed the first one.
Yeah, that's true.
So I just wrote down the description of the kid so I won't forget, Ashley.
Well, very good, Dr. Price. Excellent.
Oh, honey.
You are in the spirit on the Lord's Day to get that snapshot. Very good.
Give me my next call, girl.
I can't help mess with you. And other news.
Glory to God.
He's going to get me later, guys. Pray for me. Okay. Next on the line, we have Mary from Texas. And Mary is calling because she needs prayer to remain diligent. She said you were all in her mix with your exhortation today. So she's already on fire. Mary, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, Dr. Price, for receiving my call.
I'm glad to have you on the line today, Mary from Texas. How's it going?
It's going great, and after this morning, even greater.
So tell me, how did God stoke your flames today?
He stoked my flames because I've been going through a vicious cycle for a while now, starting not remaining diligent to the duties. And for some time now, every devotion, every prayer meeting, everything is speaking to me. And this morning, it was a topper. I'm tired of this. When you said that my trials reflect my calling, it tied in directly, And while you were speaking, I just began to think back on it, and it's the truth. I'm 6 to 8 years old. I don't have time to play around. I want you to pray for me that I make it through the breaking and stop stopping at the breaking point. God already told me who I am. But whatever reason I'm stopping, I'm tired.
Wow.
I'm tired.
Wow. Well, let me pray, because you know what? I think that what I'm going to pray is going to speak to quite a few of my callers today. And I'm glad to hear that you could connect with it. And I pray that the rest of you all, same thing. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for Mary. God, I thank you for the life that she's lived, the journey that she's lived. God, I thank you that from the time she was 30 years old, you and her have been on this journey, on this roller coaster. On this So now, God, I'm calling her into divine purpose. I'm disengaging every hook of the enemy that's twisting her to and fro, calling her to yes, no, I'm in, I'm out, I'm on, I'm off. God, I'm thanking you that you would give her a single mind. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver her from a double mind, that she could believe you for purpose and believe that you are the one in charge. Now, God, here's something I'm asking you to do for this woman. I'm asking you to give her a mentor who understands how you do things, so you can not only direct her path through that mentor, but she can be coached into stability, coached into diligence, coached into faithfulness, God. She needs someone to make it plain for her, because that's how she thinks. And with the right mentor, don't let her know, you don't want to go this way. Don't go that. This is so-and-so. God, I thank you that she'll have someone in her life to show her the pitfalls and the tripwires that keep causing her to stumble out of purpose and to stumble into crises simply because she does not understand the hand of the Lord. Lord, I'm asking that you would send peace into her life. Peace into her life.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm asking that you send peace into her life. And Lord, send purpose and clarity. Let this person be faithful, diligent, loyal, and, Lord, objective. Lord, she does not need a critic. She does not need an accuser. I'm asking you to send her an objective mentor who just wants your purpose fulfilled in her life. And I'm blessing you for doing it today, Father, in the omnipotent name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for him. Amen and amen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Price. And I'd like to say I do have a mentor. And she is all of those things. I just have to yield myself. I understand all that. And I do thank you, because see, you said something in that prayer that tells me without a doubt who you are. There is no way other than the Holy Spirit of God that you could have known that I was 30 years old or in my 30s.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's no way you could have known that without it being God. No way. And I
Amen.
Thank you, Christ.
Well, here's what I want to say to you as I wrap this up. When you go to your mentor, sit down with your mentor, and this is what you say. I have a competing passion. I have a passion that's competing with my purpose. And you two hold hands and pray until God reveals what that is. Because until that passion is retired, it will continue to compete with your purpose. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. I'm writing that down. I don't want to forget it.
Okay. I don't blame you. And don't forget, you can always go back to the Blog Talk site online, hit Blog Talk, go back to the site, hit / Paula Price Show, and you can hear this again. But you have a passion that's competing with purpose, so that as soon as that passion looks like its life cycle is at risk, it begins to create situations that make you want to abandon your purpose because you feel threatened.
Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome. Keep me posted. God bless you.
Really will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's right.
Wow. That's good. That's good stuff. All right. Next we have From the East Coast, Michelle from Washington, D.C., she says that she's a prophet and she's battle-weary and would like some prayer. Michelle from D.C., welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much.
Well, hello, Michelle. How are you doing, my beloved?
I'm doing pretty good today.
You are? Okay. God is good. So you are a battle-weary prophet. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Now, why are you battle-weary?
Well, I've gone through a series of things, just one after the other. And one of the major things is that I've been on this one job for 12 years, and I believe that this is my last job. And I believe I'm on the tail end of it. And I received a word that I do bear witness with, that the spoils of the war are coming to me from this place where I receive so much of the beat up that I get, the beat down that I get. So I've remained faithful here when it doesn't seem like I should stay here. And, sat through and watched other people progress to other places and do other things, but I didn't feel led to do that, even though those things probably would have helped me out in the short term. In the long term, I didn't feel like the purposes of the Lord would be served in my life if I went off and did those things.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question, Michelle. Can I ask you a question? You know, you kind of need to answer me on something. What does you happen to be a prophet, happen to be a prophet, have to do with your job? I mean, what do the two have to do with each other?
Oh, well, here, even though, you know, I have a job here, I do their accounting, I minister to people throughout the day, throughout the years. At one point, it was kind of just me, one or two believers, but now the number has grown. Young ladies who have struggled with their walk, you know, they come in here consistently to get ministered to, and I do a lot of counseling while I'm here. And I've had days where, the Lord dealt with me in dreams about certain people and certain instances in this office, in the disposition of this office and things to come in this office. So it's kind of like I've been here as I intercede over particular people in the company, and it's, you know, that's basically how it's
okay. But here's where I want to go, because, see, you know, we have to know what we're saying. Still want to know, okay, do you work for a ministry? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm sorry. I don't work for a ministry.
Okay, so you don't work for a ministry. You're a battle-weary prophet, and the only time you do your prophetic ministry is on your job. Is that what you're saying?
No, but it's the larger portion of what I do is here, because I spend most of my time here.
Okay, understand that, but I'm going to go someplace, so I hope you're going to love me in the morning.
Okay.
Because here's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
You say what makes you a prophet if you're not doing anything prophetic?
I'm sorry?
What makes you a prophet?
I was called as a prophet.
So somebody told you that you were a prophet. But did you equip yourself, train, get ready to do? Here's why. Let me tell you what my train of thought is so that we're on the same page. Okay, what I hear is that you have a wonderful job, that you've done it for 12 years. You've had some bumps in the road, some ups and downs. You've let them know that you're a Christian. You've also ministered to people on your job in the name of Christianity, obviously in the name of the Lord. And so you've ministered to people at work, and you've done it for, the better part of 12 years. You've had some word from people, so you've gotten a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. So here's what I hear, because, see, I am not, you know, I'm not classic, because, for instance, you could say that it's because you're a prophet. I could say you're acting like a chaplain. So I just need to know the difference. That's why I'm asking you. Because that's number one. Number two, is your job approving of you having this level of Christian involvement and Christian ministry in your workplace?
I've had, as far as the job is concerned, I've had no problem, and I had no problem. I never solicit or go from desk to desk or anything like that. I have an office, and the Lord will just have people come to me, and they will sit down, and they're there for one reason, and then a conversation will unfold, and then we, you know, by word of wisdom, word of knowledge, I begin to minister to them. Sometimes I've been able to break open the word, you know, and so this has gone on consistently. For the most part, my ministry has been to other Christians who have had.
Okay. Well, what's the source of your tension at work then? If you say that you're going to get the spoils of war and all of that, what is the source of the tension?
Well, the source of tension is that it's a very, even though I've been able to flow pretty freely when it comes to that, as far as from a vocational standpoint, from what I do for a job, it's not been very satisfying. There has not been any growth. I went from, I think I've gone through 3 or 4 directors. I report directly to a director of the whole firm. And my position is treated differently, even though I'm a manager. And that's always been kind of from the beginning. And so it's this kind of abasement that I've always noticed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's why I'm asking. Because here's the thing, two things that I'm hearing that we need to address if we're going to decide where you're going to fit. We need to address one of two things. Are you asking for prayer for a new job, or are you asking for prayer for prophet's ministry? Because right now what I hear is that you're moving in the gift of prophecy, but I don't hear prophet at all. So I need to know which one we want to focus on. Because I'm willing to stand with you on either way you go. You want another career, that's fine. But if you want to say that this is about you being a prophet, I can't go with you on that one. Because I don't, you know, I see you're a good Christian woman. I see you're a woman with word of knowledge. I see you a woman who can minister. I see a lot of love for the people of God there. I see a lot of love for the Lord. But by the same token, you make yourself a target.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we do things like that, we make ourselves a target, which means you have to decide if this is what God calls you to do, then, and I'm not saying that you're not a prophet. I don't know that for real. I do know this much. Mm-hmm. I know that if prophet is your calling, then you have to make a decision which way you're going to go, because any place you go with that particular ministering that you're doing, you're going to make yourself a target. And that's going to make you a target of bias, except even if people never tell you. A lot of companies will keep us around and let us do things like that because they just want some prayer to succeed. They don't want to offend God, not necessarily that they want to embrace him. They just don't want to offend him. But they also look at that as whether or not they can trust us with their interests. So it might be wonderful that you do all of these things to help people feel good about working for Christ and get a little word and all of that at your desk or whatever. That's great, but your employers are not looking at it like that. They're looking at it as you having a second love, and their interest is not a priority. So they're not going to favor you for anything because they feel like one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to eventually jump ship and go to ministry on some missions field, because that's what they call it, or you are going to embarrass them and break protocol by ministering and acting like a Christian in a time that they don't want you to. That's how they that's how they see it. I'm being honest with you because, you know, I run a company, but I've worked at a lot of large companies. I used to be an account executive for a lot of companies. I've talked with a lot of presidents and CEOs, and we think that just because they don't say anything that they are in full agreement. There are times that they're working on tolerance, but when it comes time for them to do the big thing, they want a bulldog. They want a ruthless person. People automatically think Christians are too soft to make anything powerful happen anyway. So if you're talking about being treated fairly or getting a fair shot at the table, I'm telling you, you are yourself. You made yourself a target and disqualified yourself. And that's just, and you did it for the Lord, and Lord's grateful. Everybody you led to the kingdom, he's happy, pleased as punch. Jesus loved having kids. But bottom line is, you might have tied his hands up in the other areas that's important to you. Because
No, I was going to say, to be honest, the job and the position itself, You know, it was a place that God blessed me to get to, but it's not of my choosing. It's not something I would have done. It's not a job
I would have done. Yeah, but you've done it, Michelle. You've done it for 12 years with dissatisfaction, needing to do something else.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like my flesh cries out for something else.
Yeah, that's my point. So I guess my question is twofold for you. What is it that you are pursuing? Are you pursuing prophetic ministry, which means you're looking at quitting your job and starting a ministry, working in a prophet, or at least getting trained to do that? Or are you looking at a career change, or are you looking at just a job change? Or are you, I guess is another question, which is even bigger, or do you want to be respected and rewarded for what you've done in this place for 12 years?
At this stage, to be honest, at this stage, I can't go any farther here. And I would really like to check out of working for somebody else, period.
So what are you saying to me?
That I'm not looking for a promotion. I'm in a management position, but I'm not looking necessarily at this point for a promotion.
You said you can't be promoted. Is that right?
Well, I'll just say this. I'm in a satellite office that has, it's a large satellite office, but a satellite office nevertheless. But in the main office, they've found a way, I guess, to make promotion.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're at the top, find a way to change your title and give you something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And are you eligible? Is that what you want? Do you want that?
No, not necessarily, no. I don't think it would yield forth much anyway, if that makes sense.
Yeah. In other words, you feel like the company, as far as that company is concerned, you're capped. You're done. There's nothing else you could do. So now you have some options. Number one, you can go to school and get some more training. You can go to another company. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'll tell you the truth, sweetheart. You need to take chaplain training because you have the spirit of a chaplain on you.
You know, the reason why I would not pursue chaplaincy is because it's my understanding the chaplaincy program is that they expect you in certain areas to actually help people of other faiths be, and I don't know how to help them. I'd be a better Buddhist or a better whatever. So,
but you know how to help. You know what? Let me tell you something. But that's evangelism. What do you think when we go overseas? What are we doing? We're evangelizing folks, and not everybody's buying it. You know, I mean, truth be told, I don't know about whether we have Christian chaplains or not. I haven't checked it out a lot, but I'm telling you. You are called to be a chaplain. That's number one. And number two, you're going to have to set aside your religious bias because you don't know how God's going to change people. You don't know whether he's going to change them. But you do have a love for people, and you do have a desire for them to succeed in life. And sometimes we have to go on a basic thing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just so love Christians. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you only do one or two people that lead to Christ a year, guess what? Those two people may not have come to him had you not been in position. But that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. So I would suggest, and I'm being honest with you, I just know that's your calling. And see, we didn't even know it. So eventually, obviously, I'm right because you already investigated it.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I'm real good at what I do, and you need to go to chaplain training and allow the Lord to use you. You know, God has a way of making sure that even in our job that we get that we do the right thing and that we get in front of the people he's working with. So, you know, that's prayer and faith. But I'm telling you, here's why. Your passion for helping people and praying with folks and ministering people is too great for the workplace. You are going to go to the next job. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to open up, make yourself the same kind of target. You're going to have the same bullseye on your back, and you're going to be on the phone 10 years from now, same problem. Because you love people, and you want to see them win. You love people. See, and the difference between Christianity and just Jesus Christ is Jesus loves people. Kingdom loves people, and kingdom is made of all kinds of folk. Church just want our local church folk. But kingdom loves people, and God obviously put something in you that can minister to people prophetically. And one of the things that God needs is more prophets in the chaplaincy. not prophesying just Jesus Christ, but not that, but bringing that intuitiveness, bringing that insight and that instinct in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know God needs. And I wrote it down. You got on the phone. That's what the Holy Ghost told me. He said chaplain. And I like Jesus because, you know, it's like we think we ran away from him. We think we hid from him. And don't you know he finds us in another corner, doesn't he? And so I'm going to tell you, your fulfillment is going to come from obeying that word. We do have, and I want to say this to you, you know, I would invite you to take my assessment for you to find out who, in fact, you are.
I took the PAQ.
Oh, she did?
I took the PAQ.
Oh, good.
I have an appointment on Monday.
Oh, well, then you'll find out the rest of it on Monday. I guess I'm going to go and read yours just because I got access. How about that? I'm going to go
all
read
right.
it because I got
access.
Okay. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, prophet or no, you are called to be a chaplain. And God says your grace, your money, your peace, and all of the stuff you're looking for is in that calling. And not a lot of Christian ministers will tell you that because we want everybody in the house. But God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
Now, some come baptized and others, somebody else is going to come behind you and baptize. But God says you are an ecumenical minister. You must go into all the world. Hallelujah. That's the best I can tell you. I can't make up a word. I wouldn't if I could. So I just want to tell you that's where you and God are. And so here's what we're going to do is after you, I don't know who's going to get you, Michelle, on Monday, but I tell you what, I'm going to go and read your thing and see what it says because you and God are going to talk. And so you're going to appreciate Monday. It's going to be wonderful. I think all of our advisors are going to be excited about who's going to get you because we don't know. But that is amazing that you have this call. I don't often get it that explicit, but, sweetheart, explicitly, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But that's all right. You'll be all right. You will be all right. I know how it is when God told me something I wasn't ready for. I went home and cried for 3 weeks, baby. I cried so hard. Jesus had to say, stop it. You know,
absolutely.
I was like, you know, but you're going to do well. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Michelle. I thank you for her life, her love for you, her passion. God, I thank you for her diligence. Lord, she's called to ministry, and God, give her your vision. Lord, none of us can obey you if we don't get our burden from you, Lord Jesus, if we don't get the passion for you, if we don't get your feelings on a matter. Lord, getting your word is one thing, but getting your sentiments is another. Give her your give her your sentiments on this thing, Lord Jesus, and then order her step. Open up the doors, open up the ways that you want her to go. And God, above all, let her not miss destiny, let her not miss her purpose because she doesn't understand. Give her clearness of thought and clarity of heart. And I bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
All right, all right. Ooh, let's see. That's right, getting that calling that kind of takes you by surprise. But then again, not really. Okay.
I know. You don't got to do that to us, right? You're like, yeah, you know, to those of you who are listening, ask yourself how many times you say, man, God, that would be nice. I mean, it's not me. It's not something I could do, but it would be nice. Man, that would be interesting, but not me. Trust me, God is setting you up.
Big time.
Oh, my gosh. I got time for one more call, so why don't I do that?
Yes, you do. All right. We have from New York, Tasha, and she is calling because she needs a job, Dr. Price. Tasha,
okay.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tasha. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How about you in New York?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
You
know you're up there in my neck of the woods, girl.
Yeah. I love it up here.
Woo, gee. Well, let me pray because you know what? First of all, I'm telling you what I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God to open your eyes to see the ram in the bush.
Okay.
Because there is something that you're overlooking, and it's obvious. You might be overlooking it because it's not anything that you would consider, but that's the prayer I'm going to ask God for you, that you would see the ram in the thicket. Because God says he's, I just see him talking to you about something, talking to you about it, talking to you about it, and yet, you and he are not connecting on this.
Okay.
All right? God, I thank you for Tasha. Lord, bless her life. Bless her family. Lord, bless her siblings, bless children, bless everything that her hand touches, God. Give her the vision that's in your heart. Lord, I'm thanking you for clearing the cobwebs out of her mind so she can see like she's never seen. And Lord, unstop her ears that she can hear like she's never heard before. Bless her, Holy God. Bless her. Right now we reach forth. I extend this prayer, Lord, and my authority in prayer over into her city, into her state, God. And I go into the human resources file of the princes that you have over that land, and I pull her job up, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that it calls her back. Lord, this is a callback. I thank you that she gets the callback, and that when she hears it this time, she trusts you, she trusts you, takes the position, and sees the goodness of God in her land because she obeys. And I thank you for doing it. Take fear out of the midst of her, God, and order her steps 100% according to your purposes and your word in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. You're going to let me know because this is going to be good for you.
Okay. I will.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Ashley, I could fit another one. Am I getting good or what?
You are, and guess what? I have somebody else for you.
Uh-uh.
All right. And I believe this will probably be your last caller for today. This is Shalon from California, and she said she was anointed as a prophet a month ago, and she needs to pray at a deeper level and wants to know how to be consistent in her calling, strength to walk in her anointing, and to be able to hear her apostle that she is under. Shalon, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, Paula Price.
Well, how are you doing, woman of God?
I'm doing well.
Okay, so now I need to get clarity on what you want me to pray for. You said you were anointed as a prophet. You are obviously under an apostle, so your apostle has anointed you as a prophet. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So, and you want, now, what kind of prayer do you want? How do you want me to pray for you?
Just to pray at a deeper level because I'm dreaming a lot, and I know that the dreams that are coming to me are prophetic undertones. I just can't make clear of it. And when she anointed me, before she anointed me, she told me that there was an anointing coming on my life to pray at a deeper level, and God would give me the solution. Like, he wouldn't show me the problem. Like, I would be able to pray the solution. So I just really need to get consistent, you know, because I feel the urgency to go at a deeper level with God, to pray at a deeper level and stealing away with God. I just need that consistency because it's like I'm hitting and I'm missing. Like, I'll do a little here and then boom, I won't go, and then do a little here, and I know that I'm really not going to get what I need from God operating like that. So I just need consistency and to just really get up under the woman of God and just, you know, the vision that she's given for you know, the ministry, to just hear and just get in, even if it's for me to just intercede and pray, but just consistency.
Why did she anoint you a prophet? What made her do that?
You know what? To be honest, Dr. Price, I don't know. We were just at Wednesday prayer, and she went to go pray for me because she said she saw a deeper, she saw an anointing coming on my life to pray at a deeper level. And as she was doing that, she said, you know, she began to tell me, okay, I hear the Lord telling me to anoint you as a prophet. So she, like, anointed my right ear, my right thumb, and my right toe. She broke it down to me. She explained it to me according to the word of God. And then the Lord led her further to use a ram's horn. And she, you know, put the oil in the ram's horn, and she poured it on my head, and she explained to me according to the word of God what it was symbolic of, and she told me that I was God appointed, you know, that I was God ordained, and she just prayed and went from there. So I don't know. She just said she was led of the Spirit of the Lord, and she heard the Lord tell her to do that.
Well, does she plan to use you as her prophet in her ministry, or she just anointed you to be a prophet in the kingdom?
I'm not going to lie. I really don't know, Dr. Price.
Okay, can I ask you one last question? You know, I'm going to just let me ask this last question. So if you don't know, then am I to understand that she has no plan for training you or equipping you at all?
She's trained me. I went through the School of the Prophets. I took the eschatology class. I went through Link Leadership before she did all of this. Like, this was years ago that I went through, because our ministry does a lot of those teachings and a lot of those trainings. So the only thing I ever really got from her was just, you know, God called me to personally intercede for her and to just intercede. But as far as what you're asking me, I really can't remember.
Okay. Well, I'm only asking because you're asking me. Here's where I'm at. You're saying, I want to pray at a deeper level. I get dreams. I've been anointed by my apostle. Bless you. I say amen. Okay? So hear me. I say amen. Bless you. But then all I'm hearing you do as a prophet is pray. So I'm not sure I'm praying for a prophet or an intercessor. And see, hear me. My prayers work. I don't pray amiss, and I don't pray just because I feel something. I got to know, because I have to know what I'm bringing down on your life. I've got to know what I'm saying and that your life is called for that. Because if I'm praying for a prophet and you're an intercessor and she's just freshly anointed you, but we don't know what she's done to say that you've moved from the prophetic into the, or what she's going to do, because I can't just pray a Shazam. You know, that's one of those Shazam prayers. Just pray that I'm diligent. Just pray that I'm stronger. No, all of that comes from training and development and discipline. You get discipline from a prayer. You get discipline from a push. And if you don't have an environment for me to push this, then I want to make sure I'm praying the right thing for you, because you have a great call on your life. I do know that God has called you to the prophetic. I don't know whether or not you're going to get that opportunity to grow in that the way you need. It's one thing to read some books. How long was your class? 6 months? What did you meet? A couple of days a week? A day a week for how long?
This was about 6 months for once a week.
Okay. So 6 months, once a week, and that's, what is that, 24 weeks or something like that, 24 classes. See, I need to know what I'm bringing down on you, beloved, because I want you to succeed. I am a real powerful intercessor. I'm also my words are very powerful, and I know I move various things. If I push you in the prophetic and you're not ready for it, I'm going to release you to a spiritual encounter that is going to be upsetting to your life, to say the least. And I'm concerned about that, because I don't think your life is going to take that. So I'm going to pray for God to give your apostle a greater picture of what you need, and then also for you to get clarity. This is, to me, to lay hands on somebody, it's like hiring somebody for a company and not giving them a job description. You know, you would never go to a company and they say, oh, you're hired to do what? I don't know. To go with, I don't know. To where's my office? I don't know. Do you realize that we do that in the church all the time because we don't believe Jesus is as real as he is? So I'm going to pray for you to get clarity. I'm going to pray for you to get realness. I don't know if you've taken my assessment. If you haven't, take it. At least I can give you some concrete information for you to run on, okay, at the least. And then you can take it to your apostle, and your apostle can know what to do with you. But I at least want you to take this assessment, because I think that I don't want you loitering and floating around like some sort of wispy spirit in the prophetic. That's not going to do you any good.
Okay.
All right? That's what I want for you. Now, I'm hearing other things, but I'm saying to you right now on this call, let's start with you taking that assessment. You take it, and then we're going to talk, because you'll talk to one of the advisors. At least then you can say, I'm this kind of a prophet. This is how God used me. This is how I'm going to do it. This is the kind of training I need. You need concrete specifics. And I would say to everybody on the phone, if you can't get specifics, you need to thank people for laying hands on you, but you need to tell God, I need specifics. When God called me to this office, it was specific. I knew exactly what he did, what he told me I could do, and how he told me to do it. God is not vague. So I want to say this to you, because I know that you, if it's about prayer, if she laid hands on you in prayer and it was about prayer, I don't know that there's anything else I need to open up for you than that. So I'm going to pray about that. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. 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 God, I thank you for this woman. God, such a precious, precious vessel, a powerful handmaiden. God, she is a real handmaiden. That is her way, her nature. And not only is she a handmaiden to her apostle, but God, she is a real handmaiden to you. I'm asking God that you take charge of her calling, take charge of her destiny, take charge of her gifts and her talents, and God, that you shape and mold her for the master's use. God, I'm asking that you would cover her with the blood of the Lamb, and that you will begin to instruct her and lead, even be her leaders in the footsteps that she needs to develop this wonderful, precious gem entrusted to her the way it should be, the way she should be groomed. God, I thank you for doing it. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we praise you for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Listen to me, beautiful. I want to say this to you. When I started praying, I saw you in a beautiful white gown on your knees at the Lord's feet. You are a handmaiden. You have to be handled very tenderly with God. And I'm praying that they get the vision in your organization that you have to be handled very tenderly. Okay? Now, listen, take the assessment at the very least. Let's take that. Let's see where you go, and we'll go from there. Then we'll stay in touch because God has a special interest in you. And so I really want this to happen for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Yes, 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 Apostle.
Woo. I think we're coming down to the wire. What do you think?
The wire is near. Yes.
This has been a wonderful show, huh?
Oh, yeah. This is rich. This is rich.
Well, where do we go from here, Prophet Ashley?
Well, you know what? Why don't we get some closing thoughts from you? I definitely want to wrap today with doing that promo spot one more time for the specials that we're running with the assessment, but what are your closing thoughts, Dr. Price?
My closing thoughts are that I encourage everyone who's listening to me, I want you to take the assessment if you haven't. If you took the MAQ and you came up prophet, take the PAQ. But most importantly, God is not vague. God is very specific. He's only vague when he's not ready to use you. God is very vague and obscure when he's just awakening you and he's just alerting you. So you get these alerts. You know when you get alerts on your phone, you don't know what it says. It's just an alert. And then once you got the alert, you become aware. But when God is ready to employ you and when he's ready to deploy you, God is specific. And if you haven't gotten that kind of specificity from the Lord, then you need to press him for it. Because he wants to see if you'll run on a whim, you'll run on a wind, or you'll run on his word. God sometimes will take his time answering you and concretely explaining to you what he wants because he wants to see if right is important to you or if just going is important. So I want to say to everybody here today on this line, pray for specificity in your calling. If not, even if he didn't tell the person who lays hands on you, he should tell you something that you can work with, or he will bring a series of people to confirm it. You have to get the confirmation, because through the confirmations, you get the specificity. But God is specific. Everything in the Bible says that God is specific, and that is the word that I would love to leave you with today. Go back and revisit those prophecies. Revisit that word. Go back and revisit that dream or whatever else that God gave, because God is a God of preciseness. And so you will know how precise he is by how obedient you want to be. The more you do what he says, the more you will find the preciseness of his word unfolding to you. And that is important, especially when it comes to prophet. God said, every prophet God ever called, it was a specific statement. Thus says God, for I have called you for this. You're going to pluck down. You're going to pull up. You're going to go tell. You're going to say. You're going to build. You're going to preach. You're going to lay hands. God is specific because God is not calling us to ministry as a social circle. God is calling us to ministry to pick up our piece of the great commission that he gave Jesus Christ. So God already has a duty description and a job position definition for you. You don't have to make it up. And I know we have taught people that it's abstract, but it isn't. It's very concrete. So that is the word I would love to leave you with today. Until next week, go to my website, check out that PAQ. Don't miss our discount, our bargain for the month. And I will meet you next Thursday on the Paula Price Show. Until then, stay in touch on Blog Talk.
How are you pursuing purpose this year? If you're like us, you're pursuing with an intense passion. Passion ignited needs direction. And when passion and direction merge, success is inevitable. Your success is our passion. At PPM Global Resources, our team of experts will identify with your passion and act as a personal vision support team to see your purpose fulfilled. Access our exclusive resources and special services. Gain clear perspective on who you are and what you're called to do. This is the breakthrough you've been waiting for. Take advantage of the Passion for Purpose special. Our prophetic aptitude questionnaire is just $49. And the minister's assessment questionnaire is 25% off now through January 31st only. These exclusive offers can be yours and more. Visit www.drpaulaprice.com and click Take an Assessment or call us at 877-419-1299 to learn more.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.